Continue where I was talking about last week, and I want to share a little bit about charity. A lot of people have asked me, because most people never knew anything about our daughter, and the reason they never did is because we never told anybody, and we never even told most of our kids, just because the Bible says every man purpose in his heart what he'll believe God for. And so it's not up to everybody so much as it's up to what we are going to believe God for. And people would say, well, what about believing God for, you know, not to even have an operation and stuff? And again, it comes back to, and this is why I want to explain this, because this is why faith is something that is developed. It's faith is something that grows inside of us. The Bible says faith comes from hearing, and it comes by hearing the Word of God. So it's so important to hear the Bible, and it's so important to put the Word of God inside of you, and it's so important because the Word of God then becomes what we live by. And that's how you can be in the middle of life and things go wrong, and you can still know you're heading to the other side. Just like Jesus and the disciples, when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, guys. And then the winds arose and the storm arose, and they came to Jesus and he was sleeping. How could a man sleep when everybody else is freaking out? Because he said, we're going to the other side. And I want to tell you, you can go through life and you can be in a place of rest even though things around you aren't going the way you want them to go. Because you're trusting on God's word, which never will fail. And that's why everybody's got to go where they're at. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, everybody's got to be... I remember my dad had a lot of faith in just life, and I want to share because I'm going to be preaching. And my dad loved to give. That's probably where I get a lot of my life from, because I didn't learn this. I grew up with this. My dad gave away 3 homes. Like, one was a brand new home, and my dad gave many cars away. And I remember a man coming to my dad later on in life and was really upset with my dad, because my dad had I remember them big boats, or maybe you don't remember them, but I used to drive them. I smashed her into that tree over there in one when I was about 8 years old. Dad would start preaching, and then we, Ray and I, would sneak out into his cars, and this used to be a racetrack here. Does anybody remember the racetrack here? Well, we used to go around that racetrack while Dad was preaching. And then one day, we realized it was a little late, and we had to get back before Dad got done preaching. So we came in through this back way, doing about 60 or 70 mile an hour, coming down the racetrack. And what I didn't realize was only the front brakes worked on this car. And we came in there, and anyways, hit the brakes, didn't stop, and hit the tree. And church was over. I got caught, and I got my butt whooped really bad. But we still did it the next week. But I remember a guy who had come to my dad, and he said, because my dad would always, my dad used to preach in, anybody heard of Full Gospel Businessman? Where years ago my dad used to go, and he was a leader in starting that, where they would bring a businessman in, like real businessmen, like people that were workers, you know, policemen, business owners, people in factory, whatever, business people. And they would come into these places, and then they'd have a guy that was a business person, not a preacher, a business person to come in and tell his testimony about how he lost everything, he gave his life to God, and God gave him everything back, or whatever. Or, you know, he lost his wife, and whatever. And then just would share testimony, not really preach to people, but just share before and after and what God did in my life, and he made a big difference. And there would be like 1,000 people. I remember going with Dad as a little boy. I don't know why Dad took us, but anyways, we had fun. And we would listen to these guys. And then my dad would share sometimes his own testimony about how he'd give a house away, and he'd give cars away, and he'd give this away. And I remember this brand new Newport. He had it 4 days. It was a Chrysler product. And he bought this car, and then God spoke to him and said, I want you to give it to this man that just had his wife was in a wheelchair, and so he gave it away. And so this guy that was listening gave his car away. Because he thought, because Dad always got better cars. And so he thought he was going to trade his old car in for give it away, and he was going to get another one, a better one. God was going to give one. Anyways, this guy was walking. And he came, and he was really mad at my dad because God didn't give him a car yet. And my dad said, well, did God tell you to give your car away? He says, I don't think so. I listened to you, and you give your car away, and it seemed to work all right for you. And so I give my car away, and I'm walking. That's why you got to, the Bible says, every man as he purposes in his heart. Right? So, and it's sort of like what you got to purpose in your heart. And every one of us are different places. Remember years ago, I don't know. Remember, see these two fingers? You can see them, right? Well, they were cut off. And I had them ripped off, actually. Both them fingers right there. And I went to the doctors, and the doctor said to me, you're not going to... They will never live on your fingers the way they were torn off. I'll tell you how they were torn off. I grabbed a motorcycle at a motorcycle event. It was like a $30,000 motorcycle, and it was started to rain, and it was really expensive back then, years ago. And so we lifted it up in the back of a truck, and because it was pouring rain, my fingers, I didn't even know, went through the caliper. If you know what a caliper is, a brake caliper. And so we got it up, put it on the tailgate, and they pushed it in. And when they pushed it in, they only went so far and then off. And so I grabbed my fingers, and they said to me, are you all right? And I said, oh, I'm fine. I didn't even want to look at my fingers because I knew what happened. And so I went and found my fingers on the tailgate, and I went to the hospital. And they said to me, there's no way we can put these on. They're going to get gangrene, and they ain't going to work. And they're going to be like sticks on the end of your finger that will never work. Even if they do take, they're never going to work again. I said, put my fingers on. Because I knew I couldn't, at the time, I didn't have enough faith to grow new fingers. I'm just telling you the truth. Because every man has got a purpose in his heart where he's at. And I knew where I was at. But I said, I didn't tell the doctor this, but I knew if he could put my fingers on, I could believe in God for them to work. Amen. I'm just telling you where I'm at, where I was at. Because I believe God. And I had to learn to believe God because I had so many people make fun of me in my life. I had so many people tease me and mock me and call me and name it and claim it and grab it and glab. What's that? Glab it? What is it? Glab it and grab it and whatever. People made fun of me my whole life. And so I'm sort of used to it. So now it doesn't bother me. People can make fun of me and I think they're encouraging me. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. It didn't matter to me. But I knew. And so what they came in and they gave me a shot of morphine. And to knock me out. And he came back in about 5 minutes and says, you're still here. I said, I ain't going nowhere. You're going to put my fingers back on. He says, we're not. We can't because you're going to sue me. I said, I'm not going to sue you. Put my fingers on. So he gave me another shot, 3 shots of morphine. a half an hour later, and he finally came in, and I want my fingers back on, and I'm in pain. I'm not in pain no more. I'm like buzzed right out of my tree, but I'm not even gonna pass out because I want him to put my fingers on, because I just didn't want to go through life without fingers. Just so you know. And he made me, before he would do anything, come in and sign a waiver that I wouldn't sue him. And I signed his waiver, and he put my fingers on, and he said, they'll never work, and they work. Yeah. Look at them. I can move them separately, I can move them, and I can bend them. And they're amazed. But this is what I'm telling you right here. Is the Bible says every man as he purposes in his heart. And the greater your purpose is going to be, the greater the word of God that's inside of you. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like Jimmy. Jimmy, stand up for a minute. This is Jimmy. Jimmy works with me. Yeah, that's perfect. I wanted everybody to know who Jimmy was. And Jimmy says to me when he started working with me, earlier this year, he says, there's only two things I don't really like at all. Actually, I'm really afraid of. And he says, I don't like water. And he told me something else. And I'm thinking in my mind when he tells me this, well, we work on a barge. That's why I'm hiring you, is because I need laborers on a boat. So I remember it was the first day he started working for us, he says, where are we going, boss? Because that's what he calls me, boss. And I said, we're going to do a shoreline on the lake. Do I have to get wet? Because he was thrown in the water when he was a boy and became afraid of water. That's why. And anyways, I said, yeah, we're going on this barge and we're going to do the shoreline by hand. You got life jackets? I said, yes, we do. So this is sort of what I'm talking about. Most people are in fear in life because they don't have confidence in God. Because the Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. How does your mind become sound? By the Word of God. By meditating on the word day and night. And I'll tell you, and I learned this just from the Bible, but I watched this in Jimmy. Because the first few trips we went back and forth, the first trip, he had his life jacket on, tied up. I don't even tie my kids' life jackets up. You know, they're supposed to be tied up. And he tied it up. Could you tie this and put it in a knot? And we went over and we worked, and then we came back. And the next trip, about the third trip, he didn't wear his life jacket. Why now? Because he had confidence that barge was not going to sink. And when you have confidence, you got peace. And when you get confidence in God's word, you don't have to get all worried and excited, because God's word, the Bible actually says, turn with me for a minute, and in Matthew, I don't know if anybody noticed, I went and got my other Bible because I have a brand new one, but I don't know where everything is in it, so I know where everything is in this, because I have notes, but I never use them. The Bible says here in Matthew 24, Jesus says, but he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against man, and ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye devour widows' houses, for pretense, making long prayers, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye compass the sea and the land to make one, and when he is made, you shall make him twofold more than the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto ye, you blind guides, which say, whoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, and whoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for what is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar is not. This whole thing, I wanted to read this because, and it goes on. What is greater? Is God greater or the gift greater? Right. This is the whole thing reads, this whole thing is talking about what is greater. Is God greater? Like, are you going to seek God or are you going to seek the stuff? Because see, if you seek God and you seek the Word of God, it's going to transform your life. Because see, what is greater, to look like a real strong Christian or actually have the Word of God in your life? Right? Because see, it says, it talks about the hypocrites and the scribes standing up and looking great and standing up. And that's why it's nothing about looks. It's about what's in your heart. Because the Bible says, out of your heart will flow the issues of your life. See, so it's not about what's on the outside or how I dress up and how I look good and how everything goes good. It's what's inside of you. The Bible actually says the spirit of the man will sustain a man. So it's not what's on the outside of the man that's going to make you strong. It's what's on the inside of the man that's going to make your man strong. The spirit of the man will sustain a man, will keep a man strong in the middle of hard times, right? And it's not what comes into the body, but it's what comes out of the mouth that's going to change your life. And see, out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, your mouth will speak. And what I'm trying to say is the important thing is to have the Word of God in your heart. Because when the Word of God's in your heart, the Word of God will sustain you in a hard time. Because it's going to come out of your mouth. And the Bible says here, over in Matthew, and I want to read here. So I want to go back to my fingers. So I said to this because people will say, and you've heard me, never do what I do. Never do what somebody else does. You need to do what you do. Because it's up to you. My dad used to say the saying, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Right? Because see, a lot of people are waiting on God. I've had hundreds of people in my life just say, we're waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on the Lord. Now, that's not all wrong, altogether wrong, because the Bible says through faith and patience, you will inherit the promise, right? So there is a time of waiting, but when you're waiting, it's not the same. Patience will help you stay strong till you see what you're believing God for. So anyways, so my fingers, they work. But I, at the time, didn't have enough faith to begin to believe God to grow fingers. Can God grow fingers the same way he can fix fingers? Amen. Well, certainly he can. But it's not what he can do, it's what you can believe him to do. Yeah. And that's the importance of people believing God. That's where I'll say to people when they're in trouble, you need to get into the Word of God, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where does faith come from? See, this is what I'm talking about this morning is really, really simple. But it's basic. Everybody's saying, I already know this, but it's true. But where does faith come from? The Word of God. And see, and that's why it's so important to read the Bible, to listen to the Word of God, to get the Word of God inside of you, because it changes the way you think. It changes your marriage. It'll actually affect the things on the outside. It'll change your jobs, your finances, your kids, your life. Everything about you, the Word of God, it's not what's on the outside of the man, it's what's on the inside of the man that'll keep a man or sustain a man. And so when we, and I want to share a little bit about charity today, because I've never really talked about charity, because this is something we've dealt with for 3 years. This isn't something that's happened in the last month. I told our church family 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago that Charity had a brain tumor. But we've been doing this for 3 years with Charity. And I'm not going to tell you anything about Charity, but what I am going to tell you is this. People would say to me, well, why would, if you can believe God, why would you believe God and have an operation? Why wouldn't you just believe God? Because I'm not there yet. But I know one thing, that when we purpose to get the right person that would help us, I knew that we could believe God that she would come and everything would go good. And so, I'm not going to tell you the whole complication of the whole thing, but it was Mike Rupnow that actually helped me. Because we were going to doctors for 2 years, and nobody would help us. And we knew there was something wrong with her. Because when a girl is smart and everything's going, and all of a sudden they start having seizures, and then their mental part starts going backwards to like a child, you know there's something wrong. And we were in every hospital around our whole area. For 2 years, and nobody even phoned us back. And we weren't like mad at anybody. We weren't discouraged, and we wouldn't do. And Mike says to me, "Well, just take her to Sick Kids. Just take her down." I said, "Well, you got to have a specialist." He says, "No, just take her right into emergency." So I just told my wife, "Take her to emergency," and then it started the ball rolling. So we just down there, and my wife wouldn't leave. They weren't going to help her, and she said, "I'm not leaving." And my wife ain't like that, is she? My wife would say, "Oh, okay, no problem." She's kind. And she just said, "This is my daughter. We've been dealing with this 2 years, and I'm not leaving. You need to help her." And then some things happened, and they helped her. And so when we found out that she had a tumor and they were going to operate, this is what I wanted to share about. So turn with me. Again, and you got to realize this. This is where every man will purpose in his heart. Or what things you desire when you pray. You've got to get things in your heart, because it's out of the heart of the man that will happen, or the issues of your life will begin. So you got to dream. You got to have things in your heart. Dreams don't just come because, oh, I'd like that. Things come in your heart. And that's why you need to get in the Word of God, because God put things in my heart as a boy. Why does He put things in your heart as a boy, or as men, or as women? Because He wants them to come out here. Right? That when my dad was just like me. My dad was had a good heart, but my dad wasn't educated. My dad had a grade 5. I think he had one more than me, he said. He had one less than me. He had grade 3. No, his teacher hit him over the back of the head with a big book, and he left. but he couldn't read. So God said to him, "I want you to start this church right here." And my grandfather already started and brought preachers in. So, because he realized the difference church made. So God put this building in his heart. And so they built the little building. He bought the property. My dad bought this property. He traded another piece of property I think, to my uncle Earl that owned this property so they could have a church here. And they built a little church. And then he started bringing people in. He never preached. He never pastored. He was just built a building so they could have church. And then God said to him, I want you. So what did God say? I want to do something in Apsley. So I want, this is a dream. This is a vision. This is what I've given to you. Right? And then he had to use his faith to believe God for money, to do this, to do that. So, and anyway, here it is. Here's the dream in reality, in real life. That's what God wants to do. God will put things in your heart. God actually says to you. God will, if you read the Bible, he'll give you promises that are yes and amen. And a lot of people will say, well, how come it works for him and it doesn't work for him? I want to tell you this, that God doesn't like one person more than another. Even if you made a mistake. See, I always thought that God might not like me because I knew me. And so he's going to like them. And then I grew up a little later and I realized there is no perfect people. And God doesn't do things for people because they're perfect. The Bible says, yeah, when we were yet in sin, he died for us. And so God's willing to help anybody. I've told you last week or 2 weeks ago when I preached that I've seen people that weren't even Christians get healed. Lots of times. People I work for. That I talk to about the Lord, or they're dealing with things. I say, can I pray for you? And I'll pray for them, and God will touch them, and they're not even born again. So God doesn't like one person more than another, right? The Bible says over and over, if you read through the Bible, God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love one. What he'll do for one, he'll do for another. But the difference is, most people, when you see things happening good for one person, you just have a look at their life and see what they're believing God for. Because many people are waiting for God, but I'm telling you, he's waiting for you. Okay? Many people are waiting on God. They're just waiting. They're waiting on the Lord. But I'm telling you, he's waiting for you. Because when he came off that cross and he came back and he stood before the people and he said, I'm going to the Father and I'm going to intercede on the right hand of the Father for you. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he said, what did he say? What I have done is now what? Finished. So what Jesus did at the cross was done once and for all. And it was finished. And then he says, all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So anybody that calls can be saved. That was 10 years ago, 100 years ago, and 100 years in the future. Anybody that's on this earth has the ability or the right to call on the name of Jesus and be saved. Jesus doesn't die on the cross every time somebody gets born again, does he? No, it was done at the cross, and it was done once, and then all that come to him, or they hear, and they put faith in him, they can have the ability or the right to receive Jesus. It's the same thing with anything in the Word of God. Jesus did it, and he did it once and for all, and many people are waiting on him, but I'm telling you, he's waiting for you to pick up the Bible and read it and put it in your heart and encourage yourself and begin to, the Bible, that's what I want to read here. Turn over with me to Mark 11. And I know everybody knows this, and I'm not just talking to be talking. I'm talking because I want God to help people. And if you're not quite there yet, you know how you can get there? Is you pick up the Bible and you start reading it and you meditate on it. And all of a sudden, it's just like muscles. If you will start lifting muscles, it doesn't just come, or lifting muscles, lifting weights. if you don't just start bench pressing 300 pounds. You know, when I was young, Julie's laughing, or Pearl's laughing at me. I was never big, but I thought I was. But I remember I used to bench press like 80 pounds. And then I started bench pressing 100 pounds. And I ended up that I could bench press over 300 pounds. But it didn't happen. It happened as I, over a period of a year and a half or 2 years. And that's the same with the Word of God. The Bible says God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. And the Bible says if we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you would say, and so everybody's got it. You would say to this mountain, be thou plucked up and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, that this man shall have whatever he says. So every one of us, I'm trying to explain this so people can get it. Whether people like it or they don't like it. I'm trying to tell you that our life isn't, the reason I told people even before our operation was because I want people say to me all the time, yeah, well, the reason you can preach faith and you're happy all the time and you smile all the time and you're always the same is because you're a preacher. God looks after you. You never have anything go wrong in your life. And you know what? We have a lot of things that go wrong in our lives, but I don't allow what goes wrong in my life to stop me from smiling because I know that that's just a bump in the road. And I'm not being smart when I say this. God is real. See, this is the thing. God is real, and he'll change your life if you're serious with God. Like, if you get in the Word of God and you're serious with it, it'll transform your life. It'll transform your body. It'll transform your finances. It'll transform everything that's in your life. It'll protect your kids. It'll say, and when things go wrong, what do? You don't throw in the towel. You just keep going.
Amen.
And that's why it's so important to have the Word of God in your hear it and hear it, because the Bible says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how faith comes, by hearing the Word of God. Faith doesn't come from talking. The Bible says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word. That's why it's important to hear the Word of God. So the Bible says this, and so once you hear the Word of God, it activates the faith in your life. Where does doubt come from? I want to ask you, it comes from the enemy, yes, it comes from things, but where does it bombard you?
In your mind,
right? Where does fear bombard you? In your mind. And so that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, I think, it says to meditate on the Word day and night. And then when you do that, you'll become strong like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. And that fruit, the Bible says, is not going to wither or die. So it's going to bring forth fruit. But see, I've talked to people for 20 years that are dealing with the very same thing, and I'll say to them, you know, get in the Word of God, read the Bible. Like people that ask me, I don't go into people's lives and tell people what to do, and I don't tell you what you should give, and I don't tell people you better tithe, or you know, you're not going to be a member of our church, or like, it's not my job to tell people what to do in their personal lives. But it's my job as a pastor to try to tell people what to do from the pulpit, and it's up to you whether you do it or you don't. And then people will see some person going ahead and then other people not going ahead, and they're wondering why. Because they don't believe it. I've had lots of people say to me, I don't believe that. And I'll say, well, I think we live in a democracy here. You have the right to believe whatever you want to believe. But you're going to have the results of what you believe. So I'm going to choose to believe God. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's up to you. Because see, I could tell you story after story after story after story in my life, how I had nothing, no results in my life for 15 years, and all of a sudden I got serious. I said, God, okay, you know, I know the Bible's true, and I don't know why I'm not having results in my life, and God will tell me a few things that I need to do, and I do it, and all of a sudden I have results in my life. Now, was that God, or is that me?
God in you.
Yeah, well, it's me that finally hooked up with God and is starting to do what God wants. It's not a works thing. I'm not talking about a works thing. I'm talking about you just got to know what the Bible says. So anyways, the Bible says here in Mark 11, and I love that. I'm going to read this whole thing because I got 25 minutes. I'm not reading the whole Bible. I mean, just one part of it. In Mark 11, the Bible says in verse 13, and I want you to read this because, see, I believe this. You know how the Bible says if you're like a child, you come to him like a child? What's a child do? They just believe, right? And I've seen this over with my children over and over and over and over again. This morning. It doesn't mean that we humans always do the right thing. But we kids believe. This morning, I had my little girl come to me, and I'm not going to say why or what it is, but they said to me, could you phone him and tell him to make sure he brings that? And I said to her this morning, well, he already said he was going to bring it today. And she said, oh, okay, I'll get it after then. Kids believe. They believe, they just believe. They don't try to figure out and say, well, what if he has a flat tire? What if he doesn't? What if he just, do you understand what I'm saying? They just, kids believe. And that's what God wants us to do, is just to believe. And so, and when I read this, I actually believe this. And I believed this when I was young, when I first got born again, and it's changed my whole life. It says here, Jesus came in and he said, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus, so this is what happened. Jesus came walking into the temple. He was coming in, into the temple, and he saw a fig tree afar off. And so he came to this fig tree, expecting it to have figs, so he could have something to eat. And there wasn't any on it. And so then Jesus just spoke to the fig tree. I'm going to read it. But it says, and so Jesus answered and he said unto it. So he spoke to the tree. And he said, no man is going to eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Bottom line. He just spoke to the tree and said, nobody's going to eat fruit forever. And this is where faith comes in. And I love this because this is, when I seen this in the Bible, I didn't ever, nobody ever told me this. I just seen it one day and it's changed my whole life about believing God. And it said here, nobody's going to eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers. And he sat under the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall not be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then the scribes and the Pharisees heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. So evening's come. So Jesus came in the morning, or Jesus came in to find anything there on. Yeah. Jesus came into the city, and he was there in the teaching and throwing people out of the temple and, you know, making people mad. And now he's on his way home. So there's a separation of time, right? There is. And so it says this, that, and so, and in the morning, verse 20, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So all Jesus did is he was expecting figs to be on a fig tree. And there was no figs. So he just said, nobody's going to eat fruit from this tree forever. And they kept walking. And I love this so much. Because as they passed by in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Then Peter was there. And Peter called to remembrance and he said, Lord, I got to find it. I know, and I could almost say it off by heart. But it says, and Peter called to remembrance and said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed, it's really withered away. Now, I want to stop there, and I want to say this. This is what came open in my mind. And then Jesus carries on to share to them. Obviously, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, it didn't look like it died. Or he wouldn't have been surprised the next morning when he said, Jesus, the fig tree which you cursed, it's really withered away. See, because most people are used to going by what it looks like. And then Jesus turned to Peter, and I love this. And now he's not just talking to Peter, he's talking to every individual that's in this earth that's born again. And he says to Peter, he says, and Jesus answered and said, Peter, you have faith in God. Because now Jesus spoke to this tree, and the tree obeyed, and it died. And now Peter says, Jesus, the fig tree which you cursed, it's actually really worked. What you said, it really happened. And Jesus turns to Peter and said, Peter, whatever you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. So what are you saying? See, many people are waiting for God, but he's waiting for you. But faith can only be put on God's word, and if you don't know God's word, how can you put faith in it? If you don't know that God wants to heal you, or he wants to kill you, I have people all the time say to me, Christian people, and it's not, they're wonderful people. They just don't know the difference. And see, they think it's up to God, but it's not up to God. It's up to you what you believe. Because he said, Peter, whatever you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which you say, Peter, what you say, then you're going to have it. Then I say unto you, whatever things you desire, Peter, what do you desire? Like Murray is not me. I might desire different things than Murray. So it's not up to God, it's up to me. And that's why, and I also know this, in 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. So you know you gotta know what the Bible says, because it's not God's will that you ask God for somebody else's wife just because she's nicer than yours. So it's so important to know what the will of the Lord is, so then you can know what you can ask for. Does that make any sense? If you don't know the Bible, how can you ask for it? But when you do know what the Bible says, then you can have confidence and you can speak it. So it says this. It says here, he says, so verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, so who's a whosoever? I'm a whosoever. All of us. We're all whosoevers. Whoever it is. Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, so you're the desire and you're the prayer. Right? Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So now, and I'm saying that for this reason, because God is the one that gives you the word and his will. And so once you know the will of God, it's up to you to say, when you go to a smorgasbord, like that's why I like going to smorgasbords. Because I don't like certain stuff there, especially at Chinese ones. It's my favorite place to eat at Chinese buffets. But most of the stuff I don't even like. But I like chicken balls. I like chicken wings. I like teriyaki chicken. I like chicken. Many different ways. I like fish that I catch, bass and pickerel, but I don't like sushi. That's bottom feeders. We fish with stuff like that. But that's why we go there. So that's the Bible. Like, I don't go to a all-you-can-eat buffet and say, I gotta eat this. All. Well, the Bible says the same thing. I don't have to have a Ford if I want a GM. I'm not being smart. Like God give you a brain, right? Like, I don't wake up in the morning and say, God, what would you like me to do today? Meanwhile, all my four or five guys are waiting for me to go to work. Lord, what would you like? Maybe go to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And then a lot of people wonder why they're not eating real well. I won't go any farther. I try not to get into knocking anybody. It's up to you. Do you understand? God gave you a brain. And he gave you a will. And he gave you a desire. And he gave you the word that if you'll know the word of God, then you can know what is yours and what's not. And then once you know what the word is, you have a right and access to everything that God has told you is yours. And that's why it's so important to read the Bible and know what is yours. I had somebody tell me a week ago, and I'm never rude with people or ignorant or even smart with people because they're serious. I had a lady come to me and tell me that God was trying to teach them a lesson by some sickness. And if you actually believe that, how in the world could you have confidence to believe God for healing if you think he's killing people? The Bible says, I will tell you what the Bible says. The thief, which is the devil, he came to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God isn't trying to kill people. God came to save the world. So if you actually believe that God is trying to kill half the world to teach them a lesson because they made mistakes, like, everybody makes mistakes. There ain't no perfect people. God, and if he was actually out to get people that made mistakes, we wouldn't have a society because we all make mistakes. God's there to save the world. He came, he said this. Listen. He came to seek and save that which was lost. See, that's what Jesus came to seek and save. That which was lost. So do you understand? It's really up to you. What you believe has everything to do with the outcome in your life. I have other people that tell me that God wants them poor. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't say that to them. And I'll say that, why do you think that? Because money destroys people. No, it does. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. If you love money more than God, it'll destroy you because you'll cheat for it, you'll lie for it, you'll do anything for it. But when you love God, money is now just a tool. So there, do you understand? Why would Jesus say that he owns everything in the cattle on the hills? Why would Jesus say that he was made poor? I didn't say this. Why would he say this? He was made poor that through his poverty, you would become rich. Money will destroy people. It ruins families. I've seen so many families when I've done funerals. And then you see the families in the next 6 months. Nobody talks to one another. Nobody does this. Nobody. Why? Because they love money. And the love of money is what destroys people. Money doesn't destroy people. And God's not there destroying people. God loves people. He came to seek and to save out that which was broken, that which was lost, that which was hurt. And that's why Jesus came. So you got to know, you must know who God is in order for you to have faith in him. If you think that the Bible says, how can sweet water and bitter water come out of the same fountain? You can't have evil and good come out of Jesus. Does anybody agree with what I'm saying at all?
Amen.
You can't. The Bible says he's a good God. And the Bible says that God sent his son into this earth while we were yet in sin to die for us. That's how much he loved to save us. Jesus said he went around doing good and healing all that were, now hear this, I want you to hear this, were oppressed by God or by the archangel, Michael. No, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by
the devil.
That's right. Not God. God doesn't try to kill people. Life itself, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. The Bible says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Okay? But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So all I'm saying is God is a good God. And so how could you go to God if you think he's a bad God for help? You can't. So you got to know who he is. And once you know who he is, then you can begin to believe God, develop your faith, and you'll never ever learn everything. I know about this much, and I've been doing this my whole life. And I actually believe the Bible. So when they told us that she had a brain tumor, they sit you down and they tell you everything that can happen, good and bad. And they told us a lot of bad stuff. And stuff we never even told any of our kids. We never even told Charity. And my wife, from the point she began to do the very same thing, so do I, but I'm different than my wife. See, every man has a purpose in their heart. When my wife gets pregnant, I'll just tell you, she's not here now, so I can talk about her. When my wife gets pregnant, my wife, because the Bible, I'm going to come back here, because the Bible says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So my wife takes, so it's up to us to take from God, right? It is. Let me tell you a little quick story. There was a woman in the Bible in Matthew chapter 8. She was a woman with the issue of blood. The reason I like this story so much, and you would all know it, was because this Jesus was not giving anything away to her. And I love this story because you can on purpose take from him what's already been paid for. So the Bible says that she spent all the money that she had, everything. And she spent all of it to try to get better because she had an issue of blood within herself. But then when she was spent all her money, she had no other options. The Bible says she heard that there was a Jesus. And she said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So she had faith in him that if she could just get to him and touch his garment, she would be healed. So she went up behind him. He was facing that way. And she snuck up behind him and she touched his garment. And at that moment, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples looked all around and they said, "What do you mean? There's hundreds of people thronging you." Well, I don't know what thronging is. I know what a thong is, but I don't know what thronging is. But I know what they were. They were all around her. I just got to throw that in once in a while. Sorry. They were all around you. And they say, and Jesus says, "No, somebody touched me. I felt faith or virtue leave me. And he turned around and she said, it's me. She came from Jesus behind him because he was the healer. And she took from him and he didn't even know he was giving it. But he felt it leave him. But Jesus now has paid the price for everything.
Hallelujah.
And it's up to you to come and take it from him. See, don't wait on God. You've been waiting a long time. Get in the Bible, find out what he says is yours, and then come freely receive. The Bible says actually we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Now I'll tell my story about my wife and I'll end. I'm not going to hold you here all day. But from the time my wife gets pregnant, my wife says this, and I don't know all the right words, but I hear her in bed beside me at night when I'm watching Cops. Or Live PD. I like both of them. She'll say, she reads scripture about my body was created to have babies. We know that. And then she'll say, I thank you that this baby that's inside of me will grow and grow perfectly. I thank you that my cervix will stretch the way it's supposed to stretch. I don't even know what a cervix is. I'm not lying to you. I don't. I don't even ask her. But she talks for about 15 minutes to her body, to that baby, that this baby's eyes is going to grow, this baby's fingers is going to grow, this baby, people would say, well, do you think it really helps? Well, I actually think it probably does. Because she's at least releasing her faith in something in her body. Do you know why she's done that? Because she's lost babies. And so she can begin to believe God then. And she does that every night. Well, from the time that we were told about charity, and I don't mean the operation. They do operations every day. The same kind of things. But what they said is after these operations in the brain, part of the brain where hers was, you can have this and this and this and this and this and this. And there were some things that they told us, like she could be in a wheelchair. And they told us two or three cases of people that are in wheelchairs because if you hit the wrong part of the nerve or if the tumor is in that place, they got to cut it out, which then affects this. And then they said that she wouldn't remember anything. She would have to learn to read and write again. That she probably wouldn't even know us after the operation because it was in the memory part of her brain. They told us way more stuff than that. So once they told us, my wife's been doing this for months now. We only told everybody 2 weeks ago. And the only people I told was people in my church, our church family. That's the only people I know. We never did even tell our own kids all what the doctors told us of the repercussions of this that was going to happen in the following years with her. And so from the point that the Bible says, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall. So again, my wife is the one I just pray and I just say, Lord, I just thank you that we're going to go through this and she's going to come out normal and I'm done. And I'm not lying to you. That's how I pray. People get mad at me when they want me to, they'll ask me to pray for them. And then I pray a prayer about a half of 20 seconds long. And they're mad because they don't understand. They think I don't care. No, when I say something, I just believe it. And then I carry on with life. Yeah. So that's just me. Where my wife, she does different. And that's why we're all different. And my wife every night would say stuff like, I thank you that my daughter's brain will be back to perfect health. I thank you that she will remember. She'll not have to have relapse. She'll not be in a wheelchair. She'll not go back to a vegetable. She'll not, all the stuff that they told us, she said she'll not. Every night for months now, after she talks about her pregnancy, or before, I don't know. That's what my wife does at night. And she just speaks the word of God. And then we went in and we met with the doctor. And so I'm telling you this. Do you know how when you're on a boat? That's sort of what it's like when you're living by faith. You don't have to swim when you're on a boat. You can just rest. You don't have to be afraid because the boat is the one that's holding you off the water from drowning. So you can relax and enjoy life. You can fish if you want. You can put a bikini on and tan. You can do whatever you want to do off the boat. See, but most people are full of fear on a boat. But see, when you put faith in God, you're not doing it on your own. He's already done the work, so you might as well relax. So I wasn't full of fear because I actually believed the Bible. I wasn't afraid. And I'm not lying to you. I was not. So my wife and I went in there and I heard everything that the doctor said and more. But somebody's got to believe. This is the thing. You hear me now. Somebody has to believe God for something. Your family is relying on you. Your kids are relying on you. Your cousins are relying on you. Somebody's got to believe God. That's why Jesus said, I'm looking to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone that will stand in the gap on behalf of my name. Somebody's got to know God and stand in the gap on behalf of somebody else. Somebody does. Well, it might as well be me and my wife. And I was, and it's not about who I am and who Julie is, because we do things completely opposite, but we both believe the same thing. So we went in and sat down with them, and we never told our kids believe God to the best of what they can believe God for, and we went in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then they told us everything again. And they said the pre-op people, there's about five people you got to see before the doctor comes in. The paper people, the tech people, the drugs people that give you medication. There's a lot, I don't even know all the people. And they all said to her, Charity was more upset. The only thing she was really upset about was her hair getting shaved, right? And they said to her, the woman giving her the drugs said, "Are you not afraid?" And she says, "No, I just don't want my hair to be cut." And I'm telling you, she was getting upset about them cutting her hair. She works herself up. And I said, "Just do my feet." So I just was sitting down, and she was on the bed. I threw my feet up there and said, "Massage my feet. That'll keep your mind off your hair." This is before she's going in for brain surgery. I said, "Just..." So she's cracking my toe, and then the next person comes in. Says, "What are you doing? Like, you guys are weird. Like, you're not crying. You're like, I'm teasing her. Like, I'm making fun of her. Like, she's complaining about her hair being cut." And I'm saying, "Well, massage my feet then. Get your mind off your hair." That's what we were in the pre-op. So then we said, "See." Then the doctor came in and he says, "How are you?" And she says, "Good. How are you guys?" "Good." And they're like, "These guys must be on drugs or something." And he says, "Is there anything concerns that you have?" And Charity says, "Yeah, how much hair are you going to cut off my head?" I'm not lying to you. Charity didn't quite know the whole thing that they were doing, I don't think. Like cutting the whole side of her skull off and taking it out. But I said, she said, he said to her, we'll go easy on your hair. And she said, thank you. And she followed him in. She walked. She didn't wheel in or nothing. She said, I'll walk. I'll follow you in. And so she just walked, followed the doctor into the operating room. And we just went and went eating to eat somewhere. And after the operation, it was about 6 to 8 hours, the doctor came out to us and said it was a textbook operation. But then he said this. He said, we do want you to know this, that we had to cut quite a bit of her brain out of her memory part of the brain. Because we wanted to make sure we got every possible thing that was not supposed to be there and more. So I'm going to tell you, she'll be in intensive care for at a minimum a week. She'll be on a catheter for that week while she's in there. She could be in here just 2 weeks to 3 weeks. She probably will not know who you are because of what we had to take out. She'll probably have to learn to read and write again. And told us a bunch of other stuff. Just all to do with her memory, nothing else. Everything else was good. But what you got to realize is we already knew this. And so we've already been speaking the Bible. First, that this operation would go amazing. He said it couldn't have went better. So anyways, we're there when she comes out of anesthetic. She looks up at me. She says, hey, Daddy, how are you? She knows me. And I said, good, how are you? Good. She talked to Julia, and then they knocked her out again. And they came in the room, and she was in intensive care. And I let my wife stay right there. And she was in intensive care one day. And they said, this girl is recovering so fast. Amen. They took the catheter out and put her on the next day. The third day, she was up walking the halls, and she came home last night. She knows everybody and knows everything. And all I want to tell you is even if it didn't turn out like that, it wouldn't change the way I believe God. Because somebody's got to believe God. Because the Bible says heaven and earth will pass, but my word won't. So somebody's got to believe God. And that's why you can go through life, even though there's a lot of things going wrong, you can still have peace like you're on that boat. There's no sense you worrying and God working. He's up all night anyways. So you might as well rest while he's doing the work. Because you up being up isn't going to help anyways. And I don't have all the answers. But I do know this, that God is real and the Bible's true and that it's up to us to believe God. And I'm very thankful for God for what went in. And what they have said after, it's an amazing, they don't say miracles, they don't say that. They just said, we cannot believe it. Two doctors were in there yesterday with her. Or no. 2 days ago, Friday, and the two main surgeons, and they said, we cannot believe you, Charity. It's amazing. Do you want to go home? She said, yep. She came home last night. It's amazing. And I just want to say thank you to God. And thanks for the word of God, because the Bible's real. And I didn't just find this out with my daughter. I've been purposing to believe God for the last 25 years. I've missed it lots. But you got to stand for something. Right? We got to stand up for something. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Anyways, Father, I just want to thank you for being so good to us. I thank you for our wonderful church family that's been there to encourage and strengthen and pray, and all the people in Apsley and all our friends, Lord, that don't even go to church. Father, I just ask you to bless them. Open our eyes, Father, to see how good you really are. And I just praise you. I thank you for the Word of God that never changes. That's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for Father, expand our vision. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for it. And I give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, bless the giver. Lord, we just thank you for such a wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.